all those things and so much more. Just grab a seat in the chair or the floor. Sit back, relax, recline. While she drops another casual line. You're tuned into Casually Molly with Molly and Bergie.
Welcome back to the Casually Molly podcast. As you know, if you're a loyal listener, I am your host, Molly Ambergy. And if you're just joining us, welcome to the podcast. We interview comedians, artists, entertainers, chefs, just anybody willing to talk to us every other week. And one of those brave people, we're very happy to have him. He is a favorite in the St. Louis comedy scene. He's a favorite comedian of mine. Give it up for Sean O'Brien, everyone.
Unbelievable, Molly. Too nice. You set the bar pretty high there. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a favorite in the scene. I'm never around. I'm a horrible person. I don't show up as much. No. Oh, I appreciate that. Actually, it's funny looking at those clips. Stefan.
Yes.
I miss that guy.
I know.
Stefan Hightower.
He FaceTimed from New York.
Yeah. He's one of those guys to me that I think he's got something special. That guy is just inherently funny just talking.
I agree.
Just his cadence and his beat and the way he I just wanted to just talk about that glass of water and then
right.
Something about that guy. I think that guy's gonna, I think big things he's got for him.
Oh,
I love that guy.
Oh, it's so funny when the bringing up that clip, I had him on because I was like, hey, you're in New York, because I had just had Reggie on, and Reggie's like, why are you, have Stefan on? I was like, yeah, I'll get Stefan on. And for those of you who are newly listening, Reggie Edwards, another great comedian, originally from here, moved to New York. He was being interviewed on here, and he and Stefan are very close. So Stefan came on, and he was like, yeah, this is the first time I've ever been asked. And he's like, I'm like, here you are making it here in New York. And he's like, can I be on the St. Louis podcast in the Midwest? It was so cute. But I really, Scott James, who's another familiar St. Louis face, he's been on here. And now it's you.
No, this is great. I'm glad I got on. I was going to ask you, and so you beat me to it. So it's good to be on here.
Absolutely. I was so nervous. I was like, Sean has, which by the way, speaking of your busy schedule, you just got back from touring. Why don't you tell us a little bit how that went?
Yeah, I got, I was out with a comedian named Greg Warren. Mm-hmm. You know Greg. That's my primary source of work these days, which is nice because kind of seems to be, if you can find somebody that they like you enough that they'll bring you out, you can open, a lot of road work is to be had. So, we had a pretty nice run. We were in Myrtle Beach, which was fun. We kind of treated it more like a vacation than...
That's okay.
Yeah, and I went, I was telling you before the show, that's why my face is orange. And I wore a hoodie on the beach because it was just... Like nice breeze, I don't know. I felt comfortable in it, and now I'm all mismatched, and I look absolutely I'm looking. This is bad. This is really bad. So if anyone's wondering why this guy's nine shades of whatever color my skin is.
That's exactly what I thought when you walked in. I was like, why?
So embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Look on that spray tan that we were talking about earlier. I was like, I might try one this year. So see what happens.
I would just get dunked on all day by people. We were like, yeah, man, why don't you work on your abs first? And then not about having a healthy glow, man. You're fat. I'm a fat person. What kind of fat person gets a spray tan? And I'm making fun of myself, by the way. I'm just saying I'm just, that shouldn't be a priority in my life. So, we were down in, we did a couple things in Ohio, mm-hmm. Some one-nighters in Youngstown.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Bellevue.
Yes.
And I got to say, it was great. Those are the ones you would think you go in and I'm like, small town, nothing. I mean, it's like Bellevue is tiny.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, I don't know. Not a lot of people. I mean, you go in, there's the one gas station, the Walmart, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh man, this could be rough. And what if they don't get references? I actually think they don't understand what Banana Republic is as a store or something. I'm literally that word. Or say, I say Nordstrom in my act now. And great. Yeah. Absolutely. You just let it rip. And I'm mm-hmm. Oh man, this was a blast. And then Myrtle was, it was just harder for me for whatever reason. It was just one of those rooms that it just seems like there was a lot of local people, not a lot of tourists, and slightly on the older crowd, which is fine.
Which you'll see a lot, like at a beach setting, to be honest with you. At least I felt that way.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those where I'm like, okay, I think they're actually having a good time.
Yeah, of course.
But they just don't express it by laughing, which is mm-hmm. weird, because that's what you aim for.
Yeah, right.
At the comedy show is right. laughing. And it was one of those, it's a cool room. It was a really cool room. It was one of those, the lights were really bright. They didn't dim the lights in the showroom. Ooh. So you could see everyone really well, mm-hmm. which I didn't really care until you're like, feel like you're just not doing well. And you're just watching people. You're like, do, pause. Oh, they're not laughing and they're just doing. I know. Like, at least turn the lights down so I can just maybe pretend you're smiling.
Right.
As opposed to just staring at me like I'm from a different planet. So. So yeah, it's been good. I mean, I've been pretty lucky. I go out a bunch with Greg Warren, mm-hmm. another guy named Josh Arnold.
Yeah.
Do you remember Josh?
I don't. So I've heard of him and I've heard of his comedy, but I haven't met him in person. So
great guy.
Yeah.
He was a local here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and he got hired on the Bob and Tom show.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
I believe it was Bob from Bob retired,
sure.
and they were looking for. Basically somebody else to fill his shoes, and just Josh kept grinding and he got it, and he
nice.
Moved to Indianapolis, and he's a great comedian. Most people, if anyone locally is watching this as a comic, knows Josh. And so between him and Greg, it's been good. It's fun in the sense that you're getting a lot of, you're like getting all these reps, but it is interesting how, and we were kind of talking about this before the show, you're like, okay, I did 25 minutes here. It was great. Great, A to Z, no problems. Like, I'm on it. And then you go to a new room, new city, same thing, and it was eh.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is where the comedy grind just makes you out of your freaking head.
Oh, yeah,
all the time. You're like, and for some reason, my brain just goes into, let's focus on the 3 bad shows and not the 90 good ones that I've had
of course.
In the last year. Mm-hmm. And. Because Molly, I'm dead inside. I'm just a dead inside person. So God forbid, I can't just erase that. And that's something I'm trying to overcome, is not get so rattled in bad shows or when you have a rough set. But, you know, then you turn around and you go and you're like, shit, man, I bombed last night. And you go up the next night in the same room and it was great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I wish I could explain that, you know, and you're like, is it me? Is it the audience? Is a combination of both. Like, what is it that was so damn funny,
mm-hmm.
You know, that I did, that I pretty much have memorized A to Z for 25 minutes, and then I turn around and I do it with a different audience and just nothing.
Yeah.
Or just mild, tepid, you know, laughs. And
No, I understand where you're coming from in a sense, because I've only been doing comedy for 6 years, but I do understand being a theater major and having plays and stuff. My thing, I think it's always the human element, because it's still a live performance, just like in theater. Whenever I would write a play, even if I wasn't on stage, the fact that I wrote something and somebody was performing my work, that's why it's so important to pick somebody who's like, oh, you know, who's going to be the person who's going to really relate this text. And some rooms I would do it and would be like, oh my God, I totally understood this. And then I don't know, they don't do it that much anymore, but St. Louis used to do a lot of reviews and like the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or the Ladue News or the Riverfront Times. And certain reviews I would get would be like, oh, this is stellar. And then somebody was like, oh, this was really boring. And I was like, what? And it was worse, because it was like, not worse, I shouldn't say that, but it would be in writing. Like, I could look up on the internet right now and read a really bad review of my play. And I'd be like, well, this other person liked it the other night. And here I would have like 5 good reviews. And then I would have one review where somebody's like, your play was terrible. I hated every character. It was so rough. I'd be like, and people can read it.
Right.
Like, you know.
Right. So. And for some reason, you just can't. Why is that so hard to shake off? I don't know. Because that's especially now with the way the internet is today. That's never going to change.
No. And like, I still remember it too. I'm like, why am I focused on something that happened at 23 years old? I have no idea.
It's ridiculous. There's some like dumb open mic, old open mic I did that's on YouTube. I want to scrub it. I don't know how.
I am one of those too. Like, yeah.
10 years ago of me just, I had no clue what I was doing at all. And one of the comments, some guy just wrote, this guy's mentally ill. And I was like, that is probably funnier than anything I said in this 4 minutes. It wasn't even like he had like an exclamation or anything. He was just stating a fact. You're like, this guy's mentally ill.
funny. So, I mean, the laugh.
I was like, that's a bad day when you know that the comment outweighs the video. I think I have like, at the time when there was like dislike buttons, I think there was more dislikes than likes. That's another hard thing to do. When YouTube had that. I think it was like 4 likes, 12. And I keep going back. Like anytime I'm in an awful mood for some reason,
Let me YouTube it. Yeah.
I'll go back and look at that just to like keep my mood shitty still. It doesn't make any sense. Like if I'm just down or something, instead of just doing something happy, I'm like, eh, let's just remind me why I'm a piece of shit. Let's go back to that video.
We're already here. We might as well just roll even deeper. And
yeah.
Then
yeah. And then I had a girl the other night. I was hosting. It was in Myrtle. It was me and this guy, Brendan Ayer, who's a comic out of...
He's funny.
He's
I've
killer.
Seen him perform. He's amazing. Yes.
That guy's an assassin good. Like,
oh,
I mean...
Yes, I agree.
Greg is... You know, I mean, Greg's at that point in his career, he just can't miss. It doesn't matter what the crowd is. Like, he's going to get them every time, no matter what.
Yep.
And that was one of the few times I was like, man, you just follow Brendan doing pretty well. You know, like... And Greg was fine, but I was like, that guy... is a headliner, is all right. Brendan, or yeah, definitely a guy to check out. But anyway, I was doing a stupid joke about looking older than I am, and then this girl in the front row, I was trying to talk to her. I was like, I don't look 50 or something. She's like, no, she's just like, you just have a dad bod. And I was like, God damn it, you're right, I do. And what's worse is I'm not even a dad. Like, I tried to, like, spin this whole thing. The whole crowd laughed, and I'm like, oh, God. I was like, you're going to give her that? That's the one? But I was like, at the same time, she's right.
What?
That happened a week ago. Still stewing about it. Still, I can't tell you the 10 good things that happened, though, and I got to bring up that. But, yeah, that's just the way I am. I can't let go of... Because I have this need to be loved. I hate being hated. And if I find out that somebody's against me, I want to do anything I can to win them back.
I was just talking about this today. I heard like somebody said something about me, and I was telling Jimmy, I was like, wow. I was like, you get confrontational in the moment, but if I'm around this person, I'll probably be like, oh my gosh, what can I do to like change, you know, nobody in comedy, just like in real life. Like it's a weird thing because again, like, you know, you're relatively a nice person. I feel like I'm the same way. And it just kind of comes natural to be liked, feel like. I think it's a really, well, this will make you feel better. So one of my points that I have on my questions is, speaking of being liked, and this is always so fun to do with people that I actually know, but when I first saw you perform, I went by myself. There was a fundraiser, one of the many fundraiser shows that Nikki Glaser has had at the St. Louis Funny Bone here in Westport Plaza. I went by myself because I was like trying to find people to go with me. And then I was like, oh, you know, people with so many scared. I'm just going to go get a ticket. I'm going to go. I remember it was sold out. Like Joe Lenig was working the door. And of course, he's always he's always so nice to me. He's always like, it's sold out. I'm like, it's fine. Like, again, I was a theater girl. So I'm like, just put me wherever. I was like, you can put me in the back. Put me wherever, honestly.
Right.
So I sit down and I remember, like, I think Tim got up first, Tim Convy. And then you went after, because I think he was talking about like entering like into his 40s, or you were like, oh, you know, he talks about this, like I'm 39 or something.
Oh, so, yeah. That's right. Right. Because Tim, again, I know I'm
you're
Tim
wearing
Condi.
His shirt.
I'm wearing his shirt. That's
I was
how much
to say,
I love
let's
this
like just I'm wearing, adjust this. Yeah.
He's getting free press right
or
now.
Or dress this, excuse me.
Yeah, Tim Convy.
You know, because he needs some free press.
Yeah,
for sure.
I know. Guy just sold out shows in Chicago with his band. You know, tons
of
fans.
But let's promote him on this.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I just remember Tim would go. We are 2 months apart in age.
Yeah.
And Tim's a good looking guy. I'll say it. Tim is an attractive man. Like, no bones about it. He's a handsome man. Everyone knows it. You don't have to say it. We all think it. All right. We all know. And then I think it was just some of these things. I was like, you guys know Tim? You know Tim's 41?
Yeah, that's what it is.
And then I'm like, I'm 41.
Yeah.
And that was basically it. They just right there. I didn't even have a punchline. I just stated my age and they're like, yeah, that's pathetic. You
it
definitely
was so,
look.
Well, I just remember like what I liked. And I think that's why maybe you and I get along so well, because you're just, there's just something so like warm and fun about you. Like you brought up your dog, which
our
family dog is a beagle. And
there's
a long story of how I adopted her. And then she ended up with my parents after our family dog. But I understood, because even though she wasn't as big as your dog, Polly ate everything. She was a rescue. And I was like, oh my God, I totally understand. There was just so many good jokes that you had, and I had never seen you perform before. So after, yeah, it was like an all-star show. It was like Tim, you, Greg, I think went up.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Nikki was so sweet. She's like, isn't this so fun? Like, these are just all my friends. And I was like, this is why I'm a fan of this person, because she's so humble. And
yeah,
you know, after I get off stage, like, you know, people are saying, I think I like talked to Greg for a couple of seconds, because he was like, didn't you think Nikki was great or something? I was like, oh yeah. And I remember I like cut him off. I was like, oh, one moment. There's this comedian I just saw, and I obviously he knows who you are. I was like, I gotta go tell him I liked him, and you were in the it was like, now that I think about it, like, you were probably like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
No, not at all.
Hello, I'm here. And you're like in the corner where which is a great place to hide in the Funny Bone. It's right near the box office.
Right,
nobody
right.
goes into there. I do it all the time.
It's like a little wedge.
I'm
right
like,
there.
Megan's working, and I'm like, hey, girl, I'm just going to hide from everyone. And you were over there, and I was like, oh my God, because I couldn't remember your name. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't remember your name, but you were great. And Sean, if anybody's watching on YouTube, literally does this. He has his phone, and he straight up, as if anybody could fit on either side of him, goes, me? It was so cute. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh my God. Do you have a picture of your dog? And you were so patient. You're like, you know what? Let me show you. Hey, you know, and you're like going through the pictures of your dog, and we're talking
oh,
about.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then I was like, do you have a comedy album or something? And you were like,
I was like, I don't even have 10 minutes. I think I cheated the system and snuck in 7 good ones on it.
But, it was just so, I was like, oh my God. I said, well, I'm such a fan. And I'm like so bad at like friending people on Facebook. Like there's so many people who are like, well, we're not friends on Facebook. And I'm like, it's nothing rude. I'm just really bad at this. And I remember I was like, I'm going to look this guy up. I remember I like looked you up, and you were you could have taken that as super creepy or strange, but you were so welcoming. Like, I remember like first attending the open mics at the Funny Bone. You were always so nice. And now I think, you know, I went over to Cape Girardeau at the Laughing Gas.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I opened for Buzz Sutherland on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And I stayed at the new like kind of comedy condo they have up there.
Right.
And little Lila, Jeff Johnson's daughter. Yeah. She was telling me, she's like, yeah, like Tim and Greg and Sean, they do this family show. And I guess there's like a question where it's like, who's your favorite? And she goes, my favorite is always Sean O'Brien.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? What, are you going to pick Greg, that old grandpa? Get out of here.
But I was like, don't worry. Cause she's like, I was like, Sean's my favorite too. So we're good.
Right. Yeah, you guys get it. No, I appreciate you saying that. No, because it's, you know, also I just open, you know, I don't headline stuff. So it is nice when, when people say, you know, give you a compliment, and you can tell when they're just saying things to say it, or if they're just, usually they're drunk. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's good. No.
You, I just was like, I was just loud. I was like, hello.
No, you were great. I honestly think I remember it. I really do. But what I mean is sometimes people will say, you were great, but they're literally tipping over at a point of like slurring words. And I'm like, you are just trying to be nice. You probably don't remember a word I said. I'm surprised you remember I was on the show. or they do that thing where they'll like, especially if you're selling shit after the show, if you're selling dumb t-shirts or whatever, and you're with the headliner, they're like, oh, you were awesome, man. Josh, you were great. And, oh, yeah, I mean, you were good, too. It's like, I mean, I got to say it because you're right there. If I wasn't going to say it, but I mean, you're right there. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. So, no, I like it. I enjoy talking to people after the show. And I'm always curious what brought them out. Like, is it just to see comedy that night? Was it to see that person? Was their friends an opener? Do they, you know somebody who works at the club or whatever? Like, I always find that interesting of what. Because I don't think people go out to, I don't know if they go out to comedy shows like they used to 20 years ago just to see a show.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's got to be some purpose of like they know somebody in the show, or they're friends of a friend of somebody who's on the show or something. Because it just seems like there's a little shift of how tickets are sold, where it's like if you're a draw, they will come out. I mean, there is no quite, you can pack. Where like in the old days, you could just put up whoever and they'd be great, and you would go and you'd be like, I saw a great comedy show.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, who'd you see? And you're like, I don't know, but it was pretty funny. Like, you don't even remember the name.
You're right. Yeah.
And I don't know if that changed during, you know, since COVID, or if it's just because now there's streaming stuff.
And I was going to say, do you think there maybe social media has had a part to play in that, like with your amount of followers and exposure and things? I'm just thinking from just even a small marketing experience that I have, just like, you know, having those align and be like, oh, if you this many views, we'll get you these. But you know, then
no, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's YouTube stars. Oh, I guess you call them.
We were talking about that earlier too. Yeah, mm-hmm.
They are not traditional stand-up comedians, and they're selling out comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clearly 100% of just, you know, using mm-hmm. social media right, where I just am a failure. I don't care. I'm good for about 3 minutes a day on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just scrolling, and then I'm out. It's just, as long as it's not too negative, because I'm already a negative person. Like, I don't need fighting, because, like, that never ends well. You ever see, like, one of those comment threads, and it's like 180, and you could see somebody said some shit of, like,
oh, I just, like, sometimes will read it, especially if I have a slow day at work at my day job. I'll just, like, read something, and I'm like, oh, my. Oh, I didn't know who this person. Almost kind of exposes people. You're like, oh, that's what you really think.
Oh, all yeah, right. Big time. But it's also funny. It's like there's just no – there's no end game where two people are shaking hands either. They just go, and it's like, you guys
– that's true.
It doesn't matter how right you think you are. You're not going to get the other person to agree with you on this. So you're just going to go on this keyboard warrior shit and –
keyboard
I
don't know. Warrior.
I get annoyed. Actually, you know what I like about Facebook? The one thing I use is the groups.
Oh,
I love
the
groups.
How do you like the groups?
I'm in all these silly groups.
I love that we also are calling it the groups.
The groups. I'm in an English Mastiff group. English Mastiff
dogs. Okay.
And
gotcha.
They're great because
Mastiff's a big dog.
It's a big dog. Yeah. Mine is on the smaller side for Mastiff, but he's mm-hmm. still.
Oh,
he's
that's
still
right.
Because so.
You. Okay. This is all coming back to me now. Yes.
Yeah. I have an English Mastiff, Great Dane mix.
That's what I was. For some reason, I was thinking, I think as of the pictures you posted, I was like, isn't he a Great Dane? Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. He's a mix, but he's a smaller side. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like he's like 100.
But he's such a cutie. There's to interrupt you. There was a picture you posted where you were trying to get him out of the pool.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was crazy.
It was so cute because he's like as big as you and you had to carry him out and this big dog is like.
Son of a bitch. What she's talking about is this. I used to live in this apartment complex and, at the end of the year, in the end of the summer, they would let the dogs go in the pool before they drained it
mm-hmm.
for the year. So I was like, okay,
the big swim.
This is the big swim for the dogs. So we're the first ones there. We lived right by the pool. We got there. We're the first ones there. Gates open. We go in. I take off his equipment, and he sees, and he's just kind of looking at the water, and he just does a full blown sprint right in the deep end, mm-hmm. and just boop, and he just sank right to the bottom. Like he never has been in water that deep and went right down. And then I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, he'll come up. And he kind of didn't. He was floating up, but clearly he didn't know how to swim.
Oh my God.
So it was, although some people argue me and say all dogs know how to swim. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but at any rate, he was in distress. He was in distress. So I was in like shorts, a t-shirt. So I just flew my phone off and I jumped in the water and I pulled him up and he's panicked. You know, he's just real nervous, he's on me, and
God.
So I'm just sitting there. And I was like, "All right, buddy, it's fine."
Aww.
Which the great thing is now people are walking in, and they're like, "No, man, it's for the dogs. It's not for you. It's not you don't. And why are you wearing pants in the pool, you weirdo? Like, who does that?" So this guy I had to explain to him that my dog. Well, he jumped in. He didn't know how to swim. He's like, "Yeah, but man, you got to get out of the pool, man. It's just for the dogs." So. And then somebody took a great shot of me just, you know, in their t-shirt, shorts.
So funny.
And I had explained to like 20 people. They kept like, hey, why'd you go in the pool, man? Why'd you go in the pool? I was like, he jumped in. He didn't know how to swim. No, all dogs know how to swim. All dogs know
how to swim. Just leave it in the comments. I'm mentally ill. Okay.
Yeah. He's mentally ill. That was it. That was the best three words I've ever heard. So heartbreaking, but so accurate, I swear.
Oh,
so,
my God. That is so – I'm sorry. But back to the group.
Oh,
so
no. I was just saying
group.
It's like that's what I use – like, I'm like this old man now. That's what I use stupid Facebook for. There's this Mastiff thing. Like, basically, name anything. Name anything, and then just type it in groups.
Yeah.
And there's just a group for it. I'm like, this is bad. I hate to say what I say. I'm like, I'm a big cologne douchebag. I love, like, cologne.
Okay.
I love it. I've loved it since I was a kid.
That's okay.
I'm all about it. Like, if in another life, I'd sell it. I'd move to Paris. I'd wear a suit. I'd lose weight. And I just whore out cologne. I think it's the best. I am convinced if somebody smells good, I like them. Like, if a female smells nice, Like, yes. I go from a 6 to a 10. Like, I want to marry you.
Yeah, for
I
want to marry
you. Conversely, if it goes the other way, I'm like, I don't think I should ever talk to you again if you smell bad.
I think, like, a lot of people feel that way, though.
I think so, too, but I don't know. I'm very passionate about it. It's a weird thing. So, anyways, I'm getting at, there's this stuff called Creed Aventus. It's this really high-end, like,
it sounds perfume. Fancy.
Very fancy.
Yes.
$400 bottle for like 3 ounces. Like, I smelled, I got samples. It was the most amazing thing. So this is what a dork I am. So I was like, okay, I'll go online, I'll buy some whatever. And then you go in, there's a group with like 8,000 people who just buy and sell this. That's it, just this cologne. 8,000 people all over the world just buy and sell each other. And apparently, if you let it age, it smells better. It's really not, it's not something I'm proud of, because people are like, what are you talking about? But this is where I'm such a weirdo. I'll spend an hour a day just buying a stupid cologne. Then you turn around, you can flip it, you can make all this money. But who's to think that this one stupid cologne, there's a group of 8,000 people who, that's what they do. That's like one guy's job. He just buys like these, like, 16 ounces of it, and then like puts it in small batches, and then just flips it for profit.
Oh,
and like that's what he does, and makes like $100,000 a year.
I used to work at one of my many retail jobs. I used to work at Victoria's Secret, and there was a lady who would come in from Brazil. And I mean, Victoria's Secret's obviously known for a lot of things, but apparently we have really good, like, we meaning when I used to work there, not that loyal, but they had a lip gloss, and she would buy. I would have to scan out, because they're, at least back then, you couldn't just do like one of and then just scan it 100 times. If it was a certain brand, it had to be a certain color, and it was a different SKU number. So I would have to try to organize them. And she just straight up told me one day, she's like, oh, I just sell them in Brazil for more because it's America. Yeah. And I was like, and that was her, but that was before a Facebook group. So I can only imagine the kind of profit she's making now.
Oh, she's probably like, crushing. You
know, probably doing it well.
Yeah, so, and then I was just screwing around. I was just testing the group system, and I was just typing in anything, like anything you could think of. Mm-hmm. And I just like basically put in like people who play Tetris. It's out there, guys. It's out there. There's a group for it. And they talk about like their high scores. It's just so... It's so stupid. I understand this is so dumb, but so instead of me scrolling through people fighting about politics or whatever, I'm too busy like grinding out the cologne market. The Creed Aventus. And by the way, Creed makes like 30 colognes. I'm talking Aventus only. Don't come to me with Silver Lake. Don't come. There's like 30 other brands. I want no part of it. Aventus only. If anyone ever wanted to buy me anything, just that. It's going to be $500. So.
All right. Put on that Amazon wish list or whatever it is. I don't even know what that is, but I've heard it. I feel like that's a...
Well, yeah, what is it? No,
I've heard the terminology. I feel like I'm cool saying it. I don't know.
So you can basically... I think it's got to be something that it's shared that other people can see.
Oh, other it people can be. See like, it?
Well, if
that's
you have
not
a,
you?
You have a wish list.
Okay.
Isn't that so other people buy you stuff?
But wouldn't that be... No, I'm actually really trying to break this down. Wouldn't that be more like a registry, though? Like a...
Yeah, it would. You're right.
I only say that because I've been to like 50 weddings now where I have to know all this stuff. But I don't know.
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, my God.
At some point.
Okay,
some
listen. Point. Speaking of like websites. So this is really funny. So I was like stalking you on Twitter today, and I'm just going to be very open about that.
Oh, no. That's great. I'm good for about one tweet every leap year, I think.
Your bio on Twitter was hilarious because it said fake comedian, real bass jumper, U2 enthusiast, which I knew, and we'll get into in a second. And then was the best. So you're, again, I was a theater major, and like, look, I mean, I sent you my website for my podcast. With theater, I've had the same domain since probably 19, and now I use it for comedy and stuff. But sometimes, like, you know, you're looking at websites, and I get the purpose of it, obviously, but now everything's just more like, where have you been scheduled? Where have you been working?
Right.
What I loved, and there's some kind of, you know, sometimes there isn't really the humility factor to it, and people can debate on with that afterwards in the comments. But what I love was that you had your website listed as Kohls.com. So I was like, maybe it's just like a domain thing that Sean did to be funny. No. You click on it and you can go to Kohls and get a coupon if you decide you want to do it. I was like, what?
Yeah, we used to have, well, I had it filled out. Greg Warren.
Is he a Kohls guy too?
No, we used to have a podcast called Trip to the Loo. Ended a little before COVID, but we would just basically do all this stuff locally in St. Louis, like these cool, like we'd go to the Butterfly House and then hang out and talk about it. It was like Tim Convey, Greg,
Cool.
Me, and then we'd have guests. And so that, well, that was used to be triptolulu.com. And then like, well, then we just, we didn't have time to do it anymore. So we stopped. Well, then the website was dead. So I just, I like Kohl's. I talk about them. I go there a lot. I live by one. I'm a big fan. You know, it's, everything's on sale.
How is Old Navy going to feel about this though? Like, do they feel like Kohl's?
Old Navy's out. Old Navy's out.
What happened?
I had to cut them loose.
What happened?
Well, oh, I was buying jeans there, which, by the way, I guess you pay for what you get because they were like $6 for jeans. Like, these are Old Navy jeans.
What happened?
They just, like, I know these are like ripped jeans on purpose, but then they, like, this was not, and they just, they break
off
too.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was on purpose.
No, this hasn't happened, so I had to cut them loose, which is really harsh of me because I think their whole thing is like, yeah, this is not expensive clothes. So I might be the only person who shops at Old Navy and Kohl's and yet talks about this Creed Aventus. I'm telling you, it's like, this is like what Kings wore. Like, they are so proud of it. Just Google, if you just want to kill 5 minutes, just Google Creed Aventus. It's hilarious. They're like, every NBA player wears it. Like, it's just famous people wear, and I'm obsessed with it.
I love that you have your certain loyalty. You have your loyalty to the cologne, to your stores.
Yeah.
Also, you have, like, I was listening, what was the podcast? I wrote it down because I knew I was going to forget. Rock the Cash Bar podcast. I was watching a little bit of that today.
Yeah.
I know it's like from a while ago, like 2019, but I was laughing because, you know, you talked about U2 and then Coldplay, and I was like, oh, he's got his loyalty to like U2 and Coldplay. And
it's, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you are very loyal to your belief system.
I am. And I don't know if that's healthy or not.
Well, I'm the same way. So, you know, maybe I'm mentally ill too.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Well, yeah. According to YouTube user, I don't know. God, that was such a good comment. But no, I do. Okay. I have this, whatever I love, whatever I enjoy a lot, I turn in, it's like just such a strong passion.
No,
like that
here.
I just get maniacally obsessed about it, whether it's a stupid cologne, whether it's, excuse me, U2 or Coldplay, whether it was, I keep trying to think of just other things. I'd lock on to something and I just, like, I just get obsessed with, like, right now I'm obsessed with Navy SEALs. I'm on this deep dive of Navy SEALs.
Okay.
Of, like, what they have to
do
to be a SEAL.
What got you into that? Nothing against Navy SEALs. No, I was genuinely interested as to why this is a...
It was, honestly, it was by total chance. It was, like, I think I was watching some movie on YouTube. And then one of the suggestions was this movie called Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
It was about... I feel
like I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, it's based on a true story about these Navy SEALs. It was really sad, and like a crew of four went, three of them died, and this guy was basically stuck with the Taliban for like a week trying to survive and miraculously got out, and it was just a wild thing. And and I was like, oh, wow, SEALs. And that's one of those, I've heard Navy SEAL. Like I could be like, oh, yeah, I know what a Navy SEAL is. No, I don't. Like, they do, what, to become a Navy SEAL is insane.
Yeah.
It was
crazy.
There's a week, they do a thing called Hell Week when they just, in their training, where it's just 5 days. You would think I'm making it up.
No,
like,
I don't.
One of the things, 5 days, they're up five days, what's that, 96 hours or something?
Yeah.
5 days in a row, no sleep, on top of, like, just all this grueling work, and they just do all this, like, it's like a test of not just physical, but, like, your mental break. And I just, so that's what I did for like 3 weeks. I just read everything about Navy SEAL. I was obsessed with it. And then I have all this knowledge now about Navy SEALs, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. But it's just something I do. I get locked on to whatever thing, and then I just go all in. And I've been that way my whole life. Like, I was like that with Bill Burr, because I'm a huge Bill Burr fan, which everyone knows. I mean, I sound half like him sometimes.
I was actually about to say, when I first heard you speak on stage, I was like, we kind of sound like Bill
Burr. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah. And I thought at the time, I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah. I thought it was like, yeah, that's an influence. I was like, no, that's not. You got to have your own identity on stage. And now I'm borderline insecure about it, where I'm just like, because people will say it to me, and they don't mean it as an insult.
Okay.
But at the same time, you're like, okay, that's no comic wants to hear. No one wants to hear you sound just like blah, blah, blah. Why would you? Because it's like, well, okay, I don't have my own voice.
Yeah.
Or I'm lacking something originality. But that's back to what I did with my obsession. Like, I found that guy in 2004, and I was like, this guy's the best comedian I've ever seen. Like, that's the one thing I could say I called my shot on was Burr in 2004 and 5. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is going to be the biggest comedian in the world. Biggest comedian in the world.
Correct.
I was screaming. I was making, we were going to shows on the road. We were driving to Kansas City to see him at the Improv.
Oh,
I
really?
Would go to Columbus to see him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is before he was selling tickets.
Sure.
And he was a killer act, but he wasn't drawing. I mean, he wasn't what he is today.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And I would just, mm-hmm. I was convinced. I was like, this guy is going to be the best comedian in the world. I guarantee it. And by the way, I'm going to be a comedian because of him. That was my whole, that's why I had the guts to even try it. Because
really?
I talked to him
okay.
in Columbus before I started. I went to see him with a couple friends. And then me just being a freak, just hanging out after the show, just lurking around, but pacing around. I'm like, hey, Bill, can you talk? Can I talk to you? And he's like, oh, yeah, man, come on over. And
so basically and was, me when I met you, Sean.
No, but you have a nice way. Like, I feel like with me, it was a little aggressive. And so I was like, okay, don't just be cool. And I did that thing I fucking hate of like telling a pro, like, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about doing it. And I was wondering, you know, just, and they're like, yeah, dude. It's like, okay, yeah, you want to do it, go up. I think Greg Warren told me this a long time ago. Go up 1,000 times anywhere is the best advice in the simplest way you can say. Just do 1,000 sets. Just keep score if you want. Bar shows, anywhere you can get on stage. And then after 1,000, come find me and we'll talk.
Yeah.
I always thought that was kind of
that is,
advice.
Oh my God. Can we like, I need to like make this just the one clip for the whole show. Yeah. Be like, Anne, can we share this? But no, that's really cool. I had no idea that, you know, I always, you know, because I remember how I discovered Bill Burr was through Netflix, obviously, because, and I remember like watching Paper Tiger and thinking that was the best special I had ever seen. And my mom's originally from like Queens, New York. So anybody that kind of has like that rough and tumble has always been something, surprisingly enough, that I relate to a little bit more.
Right. And that's what drew me to the guy, because he just reminded me of every kid I grew up with. Mm-hmm. Like, just a kind of that aggressive energy and just strong opinions. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't like some big comedy fan back in, you know, this is, like I said, 04, 05, 06. I casually watched Carlin. Carlin was a guy, I know it's all, it was so easy. I feel like that's everyone's.
Oh, sure.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, that guy was a genius.
Of
that
course.
Guy was an absolute genius.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fun to watch. But the Burr thing was cool because I wouldn't do this today or recommend it, but I went about just peppering him with questions and he answered them.
Mm-hmm.
He hung in there and he sat down and we had some Johnny Walker Red and he was just telling, I'll never forget.
Yes.
You know, one of those like moments, like I can remember the shirt he was wearing. Like I was so enthralled. I was like, this is amazing. And he's like, yeah, man, it's going to take about 15 years to really know what the hell you're doing. And he's just like, don't give a fuck about anything.
No, so, I know I have like a nice voice, but trust me, behind closed doors, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't want to break the rules.
No, you're fine.
I want to be family friendly. But he just had this really good advice, which was so neat because he's talking to a stranger for an hour after his comedy show. And we're just sitting there just ordering drinks. And he just said, he's like 10 to 15 years. He goes, don't ever be an asshole to anyone. Never. And he said it with conviction. He's like, never be an asshole. And I was like, I just sucked all this in. And then it was like 3 months later, I tried my first open mic. I was working at a Cheesecake Factory. So I brought a bunch of money.
The Cheesecake Factory.
Okay. I ran wild the cheese. I ran that Chesterfield store. I don't know how they're still open without me, but they are. And
missing out.
I brought all my friends who worked there. And so I went up and I had what was a pretty good set for your first time.
Yeah.
Because I did a cheat code. I brought 20 people out. So they're just going to give it up for me. And then I went up the next week with nobody and I ate shit so hard. I ate so hard. It was such a bad bomb. This is how scared I got in the bomb. I was on the Funny Bone stage. I kept walking backwards. I guess it was just a reaction of fear, like to get away from the crowd.
I bumped
into the Funny Bone neon sign.
Yes.
And I turned around and I said, I'm sorry. Not as a bit or a funny thing to do. Like, I was so whacked out of my mind of bombing. And I really thought that could have been a problem. I was like, oh, sorry, man. And they almost laughed. They're like, man, this guy is mentally ill for sure. That YouTube guy's right. And I'll never forget. So I got off and I'm like, this is comedy. Fuck, I'm not doing this shit. It sucks. And I remember Greg Warren was like, I didn't even know him. We weren't even friends then. And he's like, what's your problem? I go, well, went up and had a bad set, and I'm just, you know, this is not for me. And that's where he's like, hey, yeah, dude, go up 1,000 times. Go up 1,000 and don't say a word to me until. And then after that, we can come back and start breaking things down. He goes, you're supposed to fail for about 5 years. And if you don't, then you're ahead of the system. So,
yeah.
But in close, last thing too, I'll say with the birthing was wild because I would go to open for him. My first MC gig at the Funny Bone was for Burr. Burr came in to do a one nighter.
What?
Yeah, it was wild.
Full circle.
This is October 30th, 2008.
Oh my God.
Why
like
I remember
a spooky
this.
Month? Okay.
Just crazy. Yeah. So what happened was he was in town for a benefit on a Friday and Matt, the booker, got out, reached out to him. We're like, hey man, do you want to come and play Saturday? We'll just give you the door, whatever. And then in and out, two shows. And he goes, yeah, I'll do it. Sold out. I remember that thing sold out so fast.
Of course.
We didn't have posters made. And this again, this is like how hot he was. This was this was 08. So we're going back, you know, what, 14 years now?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'll never forget, like he remembered me from the Columbus thing, and I picked him up from the airport.
Oh my God, he remembered
me.
Oh my God.
And it was so cool because I'll never forget I haven't hosted a professional show yet. My first show is him. So I remember you're told, you know, get their credits, ask their intro.
Sure.
So Ryan Stout is the middle act.
Okay.
This is how crazy the show. Ryan Stout is featuring.
Yeah.
So Ryan's up and Burr's out in the lobby of the Funny Bone.
Yeah.
Like outside by the box office.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I go, Bill's on, he's on the phone, and I'm like, okay, let him go. And he's just like, oh, God damn it, you fucking blah, blah. He's teeing off. And I was it's like, oh, hey, Bill. He goes, man, those idiots, they forgot my DVDs. They're supposed to mail them. You know how much money that is, Sean? It's over $2,000. Fucking idiots. And he's just going nuts. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I was like, yeah, I didn't know if you wanted me to say like Dave Letterman or something. Oh, Sean, I don't give a shit. You can say I worked a rib roast at Warrington. I don't give a fuck. It was so great. Because I caught him in a real Bill Burr anger moment.
Yes.
And a truly organic, not in character, not a bit moment. He
just
was
real
so steaming.
Life. Yeah.
And I'll just never forget. That was like probably one of the greatest shows ever. And then then that Sunday, he's like, hey, I got tickets to the Rams game. You want to go to the Rams game? So he took Matt Behrens and me to the Rams game, and we got to hang out. So it was really neat. I just remember, don't bother him with questions, but I'm sure I did. And I just listened, and that's when he told me. He's like, just be nice to everyone, man.
Yeah.
You're going to want to punch people in the face a lot. He's like, just try and be as nice as you can. So I was just like, okay, I'm just taking this all in. I was like, okay. So I try to be a nice person in general, but I always remember there's sometimes I want to wind up on somebody, especially at the bar. Especially an open mic, if some guy's like, I'll have every once in a while, like a guy who's on the list. They'll be like, hey, man, get some drinks. It's rare, and I'm like, man, I could...
Oh my God.
I could make your life so horrible here, and I'm not going to, because that's just such a dipshit power play on my part. But I always remember, I was like, you know what? Be nice to this guy. I don't know. Some people would actually say, no, you should blast him. So.
There was one, you know, speaking of this is just a funny anecdote of, you know, and for those listening who are like, obviously there's a lot of people that know Sean, but if you're new to the podcast, you're like, oh, who's Sean? You work the bar at the Funny Bone here
at
Westport.
Yeah. If I'm not doing gigs. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great. And we love it. And everybody, it's just, it's almost so great that you're on it just because, you know, like nothing against anybody else, but we're like, oh, we're Sean. Like you're almost like missed when you're not there.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it. And everyone's great. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, 99% are great. Everyone tips great. Everyone's just
there
patient.
There was only one guy once I saw. I've never seen him again, but there was one night, there was a guy that came in. I think he was already drunk when he got there. And then he ordered more drinks, was getting like more lit. He was like, I think he was like maybe second to last. And so he was obviously on the list because he brought people.
Right.
He was so drunk. There's like, obviously there's the bar for people who don't know at Westport. There's the bar. And then there's like that little kind of saloon door area where you walk in to enter the bar.
Right.
So
right.
He went in to order. He's like, hey man. And you just straight up just like put up your hand and you went,
yeah.
No, man.
Yeah.
Like,
no, at some point you got to drop the nice guy
like,
act.
You weren't even mean. You just were like, no, you got it. And he goes, whoa, like, like as if you were so aggressive. He's like, my bad. My bad. Yeah. I was like, Sean, I just need a club soda. I will leave you alone after this. And now, Sean's like, I'm not worried about
did
you.
Did you ever have to use alcohol as a crutch to get on stage?
No, but
were you pretty good about that?
You know, I was a cheater in a sense that I had a theater background. So even though I didn't know about, like, the thing for me was stage fright was never a problem. Like, I actually just wrote an article, not to promote myself, but also follow me on Medium if you can, because I only have 4 followers. But because I just started it, and I talk about, I was a theater gal my whole life. Long story short, I was in dance, then I went to theater, and I always had a comfort level. So doing comedy on stage in front of people was never an issue. There was just more of the mechanics of it. Like, I'm a fast talker, so when I first started comedy, I talked really fast. So it was Scott James, actually, that was like, hey, some of your stuff is really funny, but you gotta like slow down a minute. And I'm like, oh, that's just my whole life. I'm just like rushing, doing this, I'm podcasting. Right. And so it was more of like the mechanics of it and learning how to write a joke. Not like the stage present part, but I will say having a whiskey before a show never hurts. My first hosting gig I ever had was at Helium. And I remember I was so nervous. And of course, like, everybody's like, it was with Erica Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
Such a sweetie. And then also I was really nervous because I had gotten the flu. It was the 1 year I didn't get the vaccine. So it's like my first time hosting at a club. I'm so happy. Like, I've been working for it. And of course, then I get sick. So of course I had to go get like Tamiflu. And then, cause I sound like such a doctor here. And then I remember like the second night it kicked in, but I had a whiskey and it wasn't necessarily a crutch, but it's like hard to admit this, but it does calm you down.
It does.
A little bit, you know, like, I don't want to sound like an alcoholic, but it really
does.
No,
not at all.
Yeah.
I will say, one just solid ounce of just 80 proof booze.
Like my first guest said at the Funny Bone, I was like, Sean, do you have like a shot of Jameson? I remember you like, and I was so like, but because Matt was like, Sean said something nice about you. Do you want to do a guest set tonight? I was like, well, I can't disappoint Sean. So I was like, I'll take this. And it ended up being fine. So I didn't even need the shot, but it does relax you a little bit. But I'm sorry, when you talked about the ounce, it reminded me of that.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious because it was a little bit of a habit for me where, you know, my first time, I mean, God knows how much I had to drink and then the second time and the third. And then, I just remember I was like, oh, shit, man. I was like, I can't. You got to be up there somewhat clear. You know, you got to have a little bit of a clear head. There are some who can somehow it actually
tank
elevates them and they can just grind it out. And like in a weird way, they might even be better.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I mean, you know, Doug Stanhope, I think, is a pretty great comedian. And
I think
and maybe it's changed.
Right. Who knows?
Have a few. Bert Kreischer. I mean, he.
Oh, yeah. I love him.
He was great. I got to go with him a couple times, and that was a pretty wild experience.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, that guy is who he is. And that's another one that I was like,
I love his show, The Cabin. It's ridiculous, but I love it.
That was the Netflix where he had everyone, Nikki was on.
Yeah, Nikki was on the first one, and she waxed his butthole on the. I was like, what a cute outfit. She's like rowing it. I was like, you go, girl. Do what you need to do. Love it. Here for it. Yeah.
He was cool. We went, we did a gig in Detroit. This place, it was called like the Crow's Nest for some reason. And it was
random.
I have this weird thing. Well, I'll just remember the dumbest. Like,
well, because the Crow's
matter.
Nest, we have one here in Maine.
You have one here. So. And I think that's why, because it's just two and two together.
Same,
same name. And then we drove down to Cincinnati. That's where
hometown.
I didn't even know that till just right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. We stopped at a gas station and he wanted to get like, I think it was club soda for his drinks.
Yeah, sure.
And he goes in and he goes to the counter and he buys like, I don't know how much, I want to say like 5 $20 scratch off tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gave me like two or, I think I got two.
Okay.
Yeah, they were. And he just starts scratching. I got nothing. And then he goes and he won. He got $100. And then he just goes to the one of the counter. He goes, here you go. And then he goes, that's for you. And I always thought that was cool because nobody saw that but me. Nobody knew that but me.
It wasn't on social media. It wasn't.
And it was like, oh, and I was like, oh, shit, I kind of wanted that bird. But I guess that's not going to happen. So I was like, oh, come on, man, I'm the opener. So I always thought I was like, I always appreciate people who do kind gestures where it's not something that they have to be, it's got to be announced or, you know, look at me, and it's filmed of doing a cool thing. Like, I always thought that was a cool thing because it was like the only one who knows about that is me. That's it. And I just have a feeling he was going to do that regardless. So yeah, he was a lot of fun. That guy, yeah, he partied pretty hard.
Yeah.
And he is that machine thing is the right thing to call him, because God, we got in at like 5 a.m. and then he went on morning TV. And actually, it's funny, it's one of his viral clips. Mm-hmm. He like goes on like the weather segment and he just takes his shirt off and he starts dancing around. It's like a huge clip. If you type Bill Bert Kreischer,
yeah.
And I mean, he had to be rocked out of his mind. But yeah, it's got like a zillion hits, and it's him just, wow. He's like, I'm a tornado or some shit. And he's just sitting there wobbling, ripped his shirt off, threw it at him. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, the week hasn't even started.
Yeah.
This was at Liberty. Liberty Funny Bone.
Oh yeah, up, Liberty Township. Township. Yes, yeah. I've been there. Mm-hmm.
So that's your home, is Cincy. I had no idea.
Yes, I know. A lot of like my close friends will obviously know, but there's, when I first started comedy, people just like assumed I was from St. Louis. And then I would make like these, since when I, you know, when you're first doing comedy, you have to like find something to relate to. So I would always be like, oh, I'm originally from Cincinnati or this. And that's how people started like finding out and whatnot. But yeah, SLU, I went to SLU over here, St. Louis University, and then I ended up moving back. But I really like St. Louis. I feel like now I've been adopted into the city, though. Like, people all the time are like, but you're from St. Louis now.
Yeah, right.
Because I've been
right
here for so long. Are you originally from St. Louis?
No, I'm from Rochester, New York.
This is like all connecting now.
Yeah.
I'm
cheating. I got my Cardinals hat and my Tim Comby shirt.
So I'm from St. Louis now. Those are the two go-tos. You just need your Cardinals hat and your Tim Convy shirt, and you will be
amazing. Yeah, you're a made man. Yeah, you're in. you're born and raised. So yeah, no, I've been, I moved here in January 06, and just one of these things. I was selling cars in Rochester.
That's right, because you were in one of your sets, you talked about that.
Yeah,
yes.
I was selling Dodge Neons and Grand Caravans.
Okay.
And I was 23 years old, and I'm like making pretty good money, like probably 70, 80 grand a year for a 23-year-old kid without a college degree.
Yeah.
But I was miserable because it was just, I love the guys I worked with. In fact, some of the funniest guys I've ever met in my life are at this Dodge dealership I worked.
It happens like that. I know.
Just, my GM was the sharp, he was the funniest guy. His name's Dave DeGarney. The funniest guy I've ever met in my life, ever. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. But you're like, the way you have to go about making a deal, it wasn't for me. It was just a lot of, tell them your payment's in the low threes. You know, you just a lot of these little parlor tricks to, and then I'll tell you that, and you go in the box and it's like, all right, Molly, it's $389. Oh, I thought he said low threes. Well, yeah, he said the threes, mid threes.
Oh, yes.
And then you start doing that. Well, you know, for an extra $20 a month, we can get that car. The rate came back a little sideways, so that's why it went up. And hey, do you want rust proofing? And I just, and then the last thing was this woman came in with her two kids, and this is horrible. But we in the business, we call her a mallard. And that is not to be an insult. A mallard is somebody who comes in and just lies down and pays sticker and just doesn't negotiate anything. It's not even a mean thing. It's just what they called people who didn't negotiate.
Okay.
Like, hey, you got a mallard. I don't even know quite what that means. I know it's a bird, and I don't get the...
Is it a duck?
It's a duck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ducks that like...
I don't know why I would know that.
Yeah, it's got like the green head and the yellow beak.
There was a book called Make Way for Ducklings when I was little, and my mom used to read it to me all the time. And I think in the book they mentioned, I don't know. That has nothing to do with your story. That's why I know this. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I'm still trying to this day figure out the connection of not negotiating for a car and being called a mallard. But whatever. That's so. This woman, she comes in and it's like, I mean, the car is like overpriced by like $8,000. And she's like, yep, I'll take it. And we bagged her trade-in, which means we didn't give her any money for the trade-in. And we sold her. And it was a deal that I made like $3,000 on.
Yes.
So to give you an idea, that means the dealership as a whole probably made over $10,000, you know. And she came back on that Monday in tears because somebody obviously told her, you got beyond ripped off.
And
I knew it. You know what's crazy, Molly? The whole thing stunk. I was like, I never felt so bad about making it. I was like, this isn't right. And I remember that night. I was like, I never was at peace. I was like, oh, you should be thrilled. You made a ton of money today. And I was like, when I saw her face and her kid And I'm like,
oh, she brought her kid. She brought her kid too.
I don't even think it was a thing of like, I think it was like, I don't have a babysitter. I don't think it was the guilt.
But yeah, no, it's still, it's, I don't do well with people crying. And if they had a kid with them,
and this was genuine.
Like, oh my God.
And this wasn't like, you piece of shit. Or no, it was just like, she was why? Nice. She's like, why would you do that to me and my kids? Like, that's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. She's like, I traded in an SUV. I got this 2-door Stratus at this price. I thought I tried. And I said, and I quit. I quit, right? I said, I'm done. Oh, I died. And what I did, I tried to at least make it somewhat right. I gave her all my commission. I basically gave her my check from that week, and I gave her my vacation pay as well, which was like, I don't know, $4,000 for everything, which is a lot, but still. And so that definitely, like, we actually had a relate. We like kind of emailed and stayed in touch, and I was like,
wait,
listen,
you guys became pen pals?
We did, yeah. What? And once I moved to St. Louis, I don't even know, man. I'd be curious. I still have her email, but yeah, her name was Karen. I don't remember her last name, and I said, look, if you ever need help buying a car, I'll take you out. Because that's what I did when I moved here. I would just take people car shopping. I'd say, listen, give me $100, keep your mouth shut, and I'll make this right. I know what I'm doing. And it worked. I had a little business going until a couple dealerships were stiffing me out. And they're like, yeah, man, we're not dealing with this guy. Get him out. And I'm like, you don't have a right to say that. I was like, I'm negotiating on their part. And they're like, we're not going to deal with you. So, they would talk to whoever I brought. And they're like, no, we're not talking to this guy. And I almost want to rat out the dealership, but I'm not going to because they could be good people. But
right, like, who knows?
But yeah, that's what I did. I was just taking people out for car shop. I would just be quiet.
You might have to do that with me because eventually I'm going to have to get a different car.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I have a 99 4Runner. I don't want to let it go, but it's getting to a point where.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, I'd say it's a little easier on the consumer today because there's more transparency with the internet being as big. Like back then, obviously the internet was around, it wasn't what it is today. Like, you didn't have smartphones pulling up prices. And so you could, I don't know if I was trying to do that today, I don't know if that would work.
I like, think I just want to see it in action. Be like,
yeah, I just
shut my mouth.
I love the art of a deal. I am not a cheap person, by the way. It is not about being frugal.
A $400 cologne, man. So oh, no. Yeah.
and I found a kink. I found a way. I got in this group. They buy it in bulk. They sell it. And I got the $400 bottle for a $180 bottle.
Okay.
And it's great. Yeah. So like there's like a jolt I get when I work a deal and I feel like I won. Like, I used to just scalp tickets for the Cardinals game at Busch. Like, when I moved here, a buddy and I, we would just go down. This is 06. And I would just hit all those guys up. There was this one guy, he had his own service. His name was Hots, HOTTS. And he just sold. Hots. And he would be like, hey, man. He's like, buddy, I got you, man. He's like, I got two tickets. I got bleachers. He goes, give me $100 a piece, $200. And I go, I'll give you $5 for both. And he's like, $5, you out of your. I was like, all right, man, I'll give you $3. Like, I would just chisel beyond obnoxious. Like, all right, man, fine. We'll do $10. And we just go back and forth. And my one buddy's like, dude, I'm getting anxiety watching this.
How do you enjoy?
Just pay the guy and get out. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe because that was the car days. Like, I love.
It comes naturally for you, though. For me, I would be like, oh my God. Yeah.
I love it. And it's probably because the car world made me a little jaded where
I always had
some insecurity about, that person's ripping me off. So, but at the same time, I also don't want a business to, like, I want the person to make some money. So I don't want, it's not like. I'm like, I'm not going to go into a mom and pop pizza place and be like, $20, I'll give you 12. Take it or leave it. Hey, you guys, what you want? I got $12. Either I get a medium with two toppings or I walk. You call it. That's what you have to do. You have to flip the script and be like, it's your decision. You either honor the 12 and give me the medium or I walk. You make the call.
I feel like that would be a really great sketch for you, Sean. Like walking in and being like, this is how you make a deal. And it's like, you know, you think you're going to be in a car or like, and it's at like,
it got out of control for a while where I'm trying to negotiate things that weren't negotiable. Cause so many things are that you wouldn't think about. Like, at least they were. I'm not as aggressive about it as I used to, but like cell phones, like 7-8 years ago, that was very, very negotiable. Like weird, like appliances are.
Yeah.
Like it's not much, but there's a little thing like some places could do. They're like, well, all right, if you give us an email, we can sign you out. We can do this thing and get 20% off, blah, blah, blah. There's always this seem to be some avenues, but I'm not a complete, like I'm not going to walk into Walgreens and be like, Prilosec, you say 28, I got a cool 20. Take it or leave it.
Speaking
20
of
bucks.
Prilosec. So, the other night when you were at the Funny Bone, you were making a joke about Prilosec. And didn't that guy, well, so I hosted the mic that night, and that guy, his phone went off during my set, that eventually I just had to be like, are you going to get that? Like, and everybody was like, I mean, I don't know. Is it a bill collector? Like, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I mean, how far are we going to go here, man? I mean.
And he, because he, first he pretended, this is going to be the setup as to why this was funny for Sean's. First he had it ring, and it like, clearly it was like one of those rings where you have the flashlight that comes. So everybody knew that it was him.
Right.
And he like tried to just sit there and pretend. So I just, you know, you just have to be like, all right. And yeah. Then the show goes on.
Yeah.
Well, then he's like, don't worry. Like, I won't interrupt the rest of the show. I promise. And then you get up and you start talking about Prilosec, and he's like, yeah, that shit's basically meth. Am I right?
Or yeah, something. I remember
I'm
that.
Like, didn't you say you weren't going to interrupt? Like, oh, what
yeah,
the hell?
Yeah, that's right. I remember you. I remember that night. Right. That wasn't too long ago. Yeah, that was so odd, because I don't think he said anything else. I just said the word Adderall, and he's like, yo, man, that's meth.
Yes, meth. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. And I'm not the best. Like, that's a muscle I got to work on.
Well, it was just after he had promised me, he's like, don't worry, I'll be good. Yeah. And then you get on stage and he's like,
yeah,
never mind, I'm going back on everything I had just said.
Yeah,
earlier.
And the problem is too, sometimes when a crowd or somebody in the audience, when they get brave to speak up that one time and they don't get really blasted or corrected, then they get a little bit more cocky about
too
it.
Too nice.
And I've seen that. I've seen that with shows where sometimes, you know, whether door guys are not in the room or whatever, and then just, you know, it's just this slow roller. This mm-hmm. is a slow roller where, it's, you know, this guy will start talking. Oh, now he's talking a little more. Now he's just, I didn't, yeah. Now it's like, dude, you just.
But it was just so leave. Funny, because you're like, yeah, I'm taking like, you know, Prilosec this, and then Adderall. And he's yeah. like, oh, yeah, that's. I was like, what the hell? I can't even handle it.
You just told me you're going to shut it down.
I was like, yeah. I swear I told him to be quiet, and he said he was going to be, yeah. And then. Then he turned on me. I was like, you know, okay. But speaking of like, you know, just kind of like, you know, being on stage and everything, we made a lot of references to St. Louis. Okay, we're doing okay. What I'll ask you before we kind of wrap everything up, you know, yeah. Obviously this podcast is based here in St. Louis.
Right.
You're a St. Louis favorite, at least in my eyes, obviously. That's very why we have you here. Very nice.
I don't know. It could be debatable.
It could be debatable. No, there's definitely a lot of jokes. If you ever are in St. Louis and you get to see Sean live, you definitely, what I like about your nature, you're very natural. I like that it's organic, especially when you talk to the audience. Like, I feel like with your crowd work, a lot of people sometimes, like myself included, I've done, where you just kind of like are looking for crowd work.
Sometimes, and, yeah.
And you're well, what do? You know this, but yours, at least from what I've seen, and maybe you've had sometimes when you first started out that you were like, oh, it was a little awkward when I tried to do that. Sometimes you'll have like these full blown conversations that turn into taglines and jokes, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's a fun thing because it sharpens that muscle trying to be a little, it makes you quick. If you mm-hmm. can be quick, and some comics are just brilliant at it. I mean,
oh yeah. I saw Alonzo Bodden.
Alonzo Bodden.
He was great.
I mean, some are just masters of that craft of doing mm-hmm. it. But I will say this, it can be a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
Because if you go in, first, it's all context. It's like, well, if they're not saying anything, you go in, man, you better have something, because
I agree.
They could just eat you alive if you just show weakness or fear or nothing funny. Because I've seen, you know, guys, they'll just, oh, what do you do? Oh man, I'm a carpenter. Yeah, you work with hammers? Yeah. All right, take it easy. And it's like, all right, man, obviously he had nothing going on there, the comic, to say anything. So I'm always a little cautious about just cold, like going in cold to a crowd of saying, hey, what are you doing? What brought you here? But if they interject or they have a weird laugh or just something that throws me off, or they'll shout out something, that's where I like to shine. Like, yeah. I did this thing about my dad and he's got an iPhone and talk about his favorite app, and it's a stupid trick. Every crowd says weather. I go, what's my dad's favorite app? And then the other night, this older woman, I mean, she had to be, I don't know, I don't want to say older, but like, whatever, late 70s roughly. She was, you know, up there, and she said the Pornhub app was her favorite app. And that was a fun little banner, because I was like, first off, is that even real? Is that a real app? And according to this lady, it is. And so we had this little fun exchange, because it was just such an absurd thing to say.
I didn't know
say.
That was an app. So, yeah.
She claims it is. I don't know. And I'm like, but it was a neat thing where that turned And it was fun and it worked. So we had this little back and forth for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That something got created because she gave me the assist.
Yes.
It's like, you can't say something that absurd and not have me have a little more reaction. So, because it's like almost now that's funnier than me saying flashlight app.
Oh,
like
the flashlight.
And so in Karama, in moments like that, that I enjoy that part, the organic nature of, you know, if I'm kind of asking maybe a question, even if it's rhetorical, and they'll jump in, and then I can try and, okay, let's make this. But I've also been hurt with that. Like, there is something about, I'm notoriously known for not saying the same joke the exact same way every time. Like,
oh, interesting. It's, I didn't even think
not,
that.
I mean, yeah. Most people probably couldn't tell. I could tell just by listening to my recordings.
Yeah.
And or whether it's just this little pause or just a little flip of a word, I just always like to just pepper it with something a little different or extra every time. And I don't know why I do that.
Yeah.
Because usually if you got it where it's laughing, they're laughing consistently, you should just, you stop. Now, if you want to add something, great. But and I don't know. I think because I start turning into, you know, when you do older bits, sometimes you just mail it in, and you're like, you can think about what you're eating for lunch tomorrow while you're saying an
autopilot.
Bit. Yeah, you're right, precisely. Mm-hmm. You're just on auto, and I don't know. I think the crowd, they know. I'm telling you, there's something that, at least with me, that they know when I'm phoning in a joke. There's a couple things I do in my act still that are old, and I'm not proud of it, but it's these little hooks that are like, okay, if I'm not getting them here, I can say this.
Yeah.
That'll bring them up. And, but then I've also noticed in the last few months, it's not working. Like these old stuff, it's like, wow, it's just not working anymore. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just like you said, autopilot. I'm just zoning out and just saying it. Because there is something about doing a new joke. You definitely have a little bit of passion. Like, there's almost a little, not like a healthy fear of like, oh God, okay, I've tried this once in open mic. It went kind of okay. Let's
we'll see
test
what
it again.
Yeah.
You know, what's the circumstance? And there is nothing better. There's nothing better than having a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn into a bit. And so I would think that my focus intensity when you're on new stuff is a little stronger. And I'd be curious. I'd be curious what other comics think of that, because I do think it. There is something where you just get, if you get lazy and stale and you phone it in, and I swear the crowd, they can feel it. They can feel it, because when you do new jokes, you're just this extra level of concentration and focus.
Yeah.
And you're like passionate about it. You're like, oh man, I'm ready. Like, even this new thing last night.
The delivery of it.
Delivery. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about like, I was so excited to talk about this thing when my dad does this thing where he fills up his gas tank, and he's got to have it end on an even dollar amount. Like, you know, when you fill up your tank, it just clicks and you're done. And my dad, he's got to have even dollar amount. Like, it's got to be, if it clicks on 5204, he's got to go to 53. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
You know, people do that, by the way. And I know they do it because I see it with tips.
Sure.
Like, the bill will be 1974, and then they'll leave $4.26.
I'm kind of like that with chips. I will say that, like, even if I, like, if I round up, like, if I want it, even somebody's like, oh, it's perfect that way. I'm like, but I want it to be a certain number, so I'll leave a little bit more.
Now, would you do it with gas?
So, not with gas, though.
So, if you fill up your tank, you click and you're out.
Yeah, I'm done.
Huh, that's interesting. But then with gratuity, you'll have the total be an even dollar amount?
Maybe it's just because I've worked in customer service for so long. I'm just like, it means so much to me. So, if it has to be a perfect, like... That's why I'm so grateful now that receipts just say, oh, here's what 18% is or whatever in this. And I can just follow that, and that eases it. But for a long time, I was just like, oh, it has to be this number and this. Oh, this is, and it's not enough. So you know what? If I round it, I'm going to feel better psychologically if I do this. It's very weird. But with gas, it's not like that at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, for
I drive
reason,
an SUV though, so it's, you know.
Yeah,
gas
we're gonna
is gas
we'll trade
that.
That. We'll trade that in.
We'll trade that
we're
in.
We're gonna trade it in for you.
Yes,
and
I
we'll
can't
get you
wait.
A new one, and like I'm like I'll just terrorize these guys.
Exactly. I'll
which
just
is
like
really
slip $100 and then I'll just shut my mouth and be like, "This is my guy. He's talking." Okay.
Yeah. I swear, I would just take people and I would be like, "It was so dumb." I'd be like, "These are
I
my
just
clients
love that I know this
I'd
about
call
you
them
now.
My clients. I'm Better Call Saul up here.
Did you have a BlackBerry and everything? You're like, and we'll fit you in at noon.
I remember I just got the. It was right when the smartphone came out, and I just had a like, yeah, I'm negotiating. I would say I'm negotiating a car for my clients today, and they're just like, what?
Like, wait, can I ask you though? What did you wear when you like? Were you? I'm trying to imagine what you looked like. Were you in a suit? Were you just in kind of like a t-shirt?
Oh no, I mean, I was like kind of what I wear on stage, like button-down shirt. Okay. Generally nice jeans. Like I looked.
I didn't know how much of a mobster you were going on about.
Oh, okay. No. That's who I worked for. All those
that's so true. Yes.
I worked for all these crazy Italian people back in.
Yeah.
But I, it was a lot of fun just wandering around St. Louis to all these dealerships and just being like, yeah, I'm here to negotiate on the behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And so we're going to be buying a car today. And
this is
just
very
like, what
professional.
Oh,
I'm here to negotiate. Like,
Now,
these
I don't
are some big words, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a little trick. You know, you just talk like you speak really well, which I don't. I talk like a drunk pirate. I'm terrible English. I swear all the time. I said even on this, like, don't swear. I'm sure I've broken
it
a few times.
No, you know, but it comes with, I will say, especially my early 20s, I had a mouth on me. So when I started working in, especially when you're just like working with gigs a lot, nobody's expecting you. It wasn't until I had like my first like real job at Kate Spade. I worked, well, that was like just even a part-time gig just to, I remember I was like, fuck. And I like yelled it at the cash register and my manager looked at me and that's when I knew, I was like, oh, I got to class this up. I got to be a little bit classier. So now today everybody's like, I think it's just Kate Spade and these other jobs I've had have made me that person. But I wasn't always like that at all. Now I've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it does. I mean, whatever environment you're in affects. I mean, you know, working at the Funny Bone and in the comedy world, like all bets are off. Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
Just, any sort of class and etiquette and proper, like, wow. it's embarrassing. Hey, was Kate Spade, is that David Spade's sister?
Here's what's crazy. So Kate Spade, it's funny you brought David Spade. So I believe that Kate Spade married David Spade's brother or something around those lines. Like it was his brother's. I feel bad because I can't exactly remember it, but David Spade was made
part
a whole public
name
out. Yeah. So when I wasn't working there when she died, but it was, I remember I was actually at a show and I think it was Kate Barton. She was like, hey, did you know that Kate Spade died? And it was just a shock. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I think I was at the Funny Bone. I think I had to take a moment of silence just to be like you were like, hey, I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, it was a very classy environment though. Like for just a part-time position there, because I was producing my plays and then that was just kind of something to fulfill my time.
And where was this?
Cincinnati. At the Kenwood Mall. Anybody from
Kenwood,
Cincinnati?
Shout out. Hell yeah.
They have a very nice cheesecake factory there. So
of course.
Yeah.
It's in a mall. Yeah.
Yeah. You had to take a personality test for Cheesecake Factory.
I did.
Right?
That's 100% true story.
Yeah. I had to do, for my part-time job at Kate Spade, we had an iPad. And I remember I had to sit in this dressing room and learn all about the brand. So I could tell you how it was made, where it began. I have all this information about Kate Spade, even though I no longer work there.
Yeah.
But it was a good time. I like it. Still loyal to the brand, just like, you know, how you're loyal for your, I'm still loyal to Kate Spade, still love it. It's great.
Oh yeah. No, I used to, I don't look it now because I just don't take care of myself. I love like fashion and stuff when I was in my 20s at there.
You
I was
liked
all
fashion?
About not
what?
Like I guess it's all it's a relative term because
and I say that not as a surprise. I just kind of love the
well
charm,
now I mean look at
fashion.
Me now, you know, I'm dressed like a garbage man. I mean terrible. Tim's ugly shirt. What is this, Tim? Seriously. What is this? We get it. You played it, but they don't know it. Sorry, I'm going off track here.
It's all right.
Yeah, no, I had this, like, I was obsessed
with... Oh, I just realized it said just the keyboard player, so...
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Even I didn't see that. I was making fun of him because I was like, there was no reason for this to be on here, and then there's...
And then I saved the day. We're good. Yeah, don't worry. Got it.
Yeah, I was obsessed with, like... Actually, high school is when it really started because I went to private school, a Catholic private school.
I
and so
too.
We'd wear shirts and ties.
Yeah.
And so the deal, and like our family, we didn't have any money. Like it was ridiculous. And I would I'd beg my mom. I was like, structure. Remember structure?
Yeah.
Which was, I guess, flipped into Express.
Yes.
That was like the staple. That was, if you had a structure tie and shirt and a JanSport bag, you were
the
cooking.
JanSport.
You were making statements, and I was such a label whore. It was so important to me.
You were.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is going back to like high school days. I didn't know any better. Like today, I could care less, but
back then.
I was willing to spend an extra $50 or whatever, $30 on a JanSport bag that was less than half the size of just some knockoff that could fit all my books, just so I could have.
Oh,
I'm so disgusted myself. I was so proud to like have Abercrombie on my stupid shirt.
I used to work at Abercrombie and Fitch.
Oh, did you just watch that?
I did. I just watched. Well, so I didn't realize all the other stuff previously, like with the graphic tees. I started working there when they were models and Impact, and I was a model. Like I originally applied to Hollister, and I didn't understand when you were to apply. I went to interview like you would. I wore like a cute blazer with like a cute skirt and some heels. And this girl at Hollister, there was like four people at this couch, okay? It was just like out of the documentary. And she's like, the three of you can stay. She's like, you can leave. Like she made me, I didn't even get interviewed. I remember being so hurt. And my mom was like, just go back in the mall. There's like 50 stores at Ken. Like my mom was not even fazed. Like she's like this Italian woman. She's like, just go.
So hold on, let me jump in. So yeah. You got the interview because you just turned in paperwork. So they haven't.
So
they didn't actually get to see you? Is that what you're guessing?
So yeah, basically you went online. So I went in and they wouldn't even interview me because I wasn't like dressed as the part. So I learned from that. And I was like, well, Abercrombie and Fitch is upstairs. That's the better store anyway. So right. I went in. I remember I walked in with like my jeans and the manager was so cute at the time. He was just like, yeah, you can just work here today. Like, let's do an interview. We like talked about like everything, the diversity question that they ask. And I'm like, yeah. And I remember I got it, but it was wild. Like my store was in Cincinnati, so it was a little bit more tame. Like other stores, I'm sure, like when you watch the orientation, it was crazy. They had like an orientation. It was the store that opened up in Japan and like men are shirtless and people like jumping around.
Right.
I lived in conservative Cincinnati and like the only people that had their clothes off were just the men on the walls. Everybody else was it was just weird though. I had like this tight dress on. I remember I was going to get in a medium and the girl manager was like, you should get it in a small because it would like it was weird. I remember I had to change a light bulb and flip flops. I was like, what am I doing? But I made good money. I was really happy with it. And the cologne, back to that.
Oh yeah.
I smelled like I had so many dates and I'm not saying to be like, look at me, I'm such a hot commodity, but I had so many dates because I smelled like the Abercrombie and Fitch. So guys would be like, you smell really good. What is that? And I'd be like, it's like blah, 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 blah by Abercrombie and Fitch.
I tell you, like, it worked. If I swear to God, if I was single and I took a little bit of care of myself, all you have to do is just smell amazing. I'm in. I don't need anything else. That's it.
Oh,
nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, that and then good teeth.
Yeah.
Which
I am all about good teeth. I know. Every time I see somebody on TV, I'm like, oh my God, they have great teeth. It's the first thing I see. I don't know what it is.
It's,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, it just says to me, it's like, okay, this is a big thing you're taking care of. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
You should. And I remember I dated, this was years ago, this girl, she was beautiful, out of my league. And I don't mean to be a prick because I have a gut and I'm not a handsome man right now. And I admit it, so I'll shit on myself all day. But she had bad teeth. She had bad teeth. And I was like, shake it off. I was like, no big deal. Just don't look at him. But then you can't.
Don't look
because
at
then
him.
It was one of those moments. Now it's in my head. So now anytime she talks to me, smiles, whatever, my eyes instantly went there and I just kept getting bummed out. And I just like, we weren't really serious. We were just kind of like went on a few dates and stuff. And it was another, but I just kind of fizzled because I was like, God, that. Teeth just really bothered me. And it's not like I have like the best. I have like, they're fine. Like I go to the dentist, I brush, I do the basics.
Wait, right, I was going to say, we're at the standard.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not like, nobody's going to be taking photos of me.
Listen, sometimes
catalog,
we're lucky if I floss. I understand that. That's my
Let's
favorite
be honest.
The dentist.
No, nobody's flossing.
It's like,
flossing
who do you think you're like
day?
Every day? I floss every day. It's fine. And then they're like flossing you out and your gums are bleeding and you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I know what's going on. I'm just being a civilian like the other 90% and the 10% weirdos who do floss twice a day. It's like, who has that time?
Right.
Maybe if you have dental pics, maybe.
Thank
I'll give you.
You
those little dental picks. But outside of that, like, don't give me the shit that you're flossing three times a day.
Oh
I don't
God.
Even know if you're brushing twice a day.
Right. I don't even know what you're doing, actually.
Yeah. And honestly, the cheat code with teeth is as long as if they're not crooked and white, you just assume that this person has amazing oral hygienics. This is amazing. And you can cheat that so easily now. I mean, especially with the whitening. Go to Walgreens and look. The whole aisle is just whitening paste.
Yeah.
Like,
it really
I
is.
I swear
though.
To God, it's like half the aisle is toothpaste. The other half is just how to make your teeth white.
That's what I get the whitening mouthwash. So I have to use that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because I drink so much coffee that by the middle of the day, I'm like, I swear my teeth aren't usually this brown. So what I'll do, I didn't bring it today, but I usually keep a little bit of it in my purse. Then I'll go in the bathroom and switch it. But it, oh, hello. It was, it's like the best invention. Whoever created
it's
that.
It's great. I do thank the Crest. I'm all in. Cool. I think yeah. It's the Crest. I'll go whitening strips once a week. And then I do, yeah. I,
who
I
knew, Sean?
Around,
that's what we have in common. We're really big about teeth.
No, I am so big on smelling good, having nice tea, all this other stuff. And then, but it's like, I've never, for the last 10 years, I just refused to go to a gym. And I finally started going when I was in Myrtle, I started going. And now I went today. So here's the trick. This is what I'm going to do. And we'll see if it works. 3.7 miles for 1 hour on an up 4 incline. 6 days a week, 1 day off. Try not to eat like an asshole. If you see me now and I look skinnier in 6 months and you know how you do it, there it is. That's how I did it. So that's all I do. I do the 3.7, 4 incline. The incline is key, everybody.
Okay. Incline is key.
Incline is key because I think you're working on. You're walking up. So yes. It makes sense. So 4, 3, 7, 1 hour. And bring your phone, watch Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I have a plan now. Oh my gosh. Now we'll have to do a 6 month follow up and see where Sean is at.
Yeah, because it's, I'm not looking for pity or anything, but like I weigh 255 pounds, which is.
You don't look that.
I know, I don't. And I admit I don't think I do, but.
Honestly, and yeah, I'm not trying to be like, oh,
you're no, and I know you're not. Yeah. But like, when my daughter's like, you're, you know, I just turned 42, and he's like, you know, you are clinically obese. Like he said, like that's the nicest way. God. That is the nicest way of a doctor being like, you're just a fat piece of shit.
Well,
you're
at least
clinically
my teeth
obese.
Are good, so you're
fine. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I would think I might have better teeth than him.
Exactly. But, so you can say whatever you want, sir, but my teeth look great. And I didn't even floss today.
Exactly.
So.
Clinically. He said clinically obese. But I'm like, yeah, but in... like, am I St. Louis obese? Because St. Louis are some big people.
I was about to say, like, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh,
that's, man. You know, that's such a dumb joke. So that's like one of those jokes I do when I first started comedy, where you just name a city in the Midwest and then you just assume, like, nobody's in shape. Like, there's nobody works out in St. Louis. There's no gyms. It's so dumb. Oh, but everyone in Rochester is just a perfect 10.
Everybody in Cincinnati. Well, I will say I did read an article and it was like, most attractive people where they come from. And it was like one of the top 5 cities was Cincinnati. And I was like, oh, okay. So don't
Cincy,
worry.
Yeah.
There you go. Cincy, yes.
That's what they say, right?
Yeah. C-I-N-C-Y. Cincy. If you spell it C-I-N-C-I, you're an imposter. So let me see what actually. Oh, Sean, we got to go. Okay.
Oh, we got to go. Okay.
Nothing bad. We've just talked for an hour and a half.
Yes.
So we got some really great material.
We broke the record. That was fun, Molly.
Oh, I
Thank
love
you.
It. Yes. Thanks One question having. I'm going to ask you, and I don't mean to, this has been, first of all, this has been wonderful. I'm so glad I got to like even know you better. This is great. Yeah,
absolutely.
One thing I will ask you, you know, we're based in St. Louis. What I always say is like, why St. Louis versus like Chicago or LA? And you obviously, you travel a lot. You just say we're in Myrtle and all.
Sure.
This. And which is all great, admirable. Like you've been on Sirius XM. You've done a lot of great.
Cool.
We got to bring Sean back for topic 2 and then we'll talk about Sirius XM and all of that. But why St. Louis? Why be here?
This is a city that it grew on me hard. And I mean, you start just breaking things down. Like, all right, when you step out of your own life and you look into it, you're like, okay, what makes sense? What's a pro con list of staying and leaving? And I'm like, for me, it was just too many pros and cons. And I'm like, all these pro. All right, well, I have a girlfriend who I love. Who I'm, you know, hopefully, you know, I don't know, maybe she'll marry one day. We'll see.
I saw that on Facebook. You posted a cute picture of, she's beautiful, by the way. I'm not just saying that because she might listen to this, but you had this great caption. It was like, someday I may ask her to marry me and she'll say no or something.
Yeah, or she'll say probably not or something. So.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, her family's here. We got our dog, and then I got a good thing with comedy.
Yes.
I got a situation where I can get up a lot at my home club. I can get up a lot in Omaha, which is a 6-hour drive. I can go down to Cape Girardeau, which is a 2-hour drive. I mean, that's the thing, just logistics. St. Louis is a pretty good city to work in. Midwest.
It is.
I mean, you can knock out a bunch of gigs in a 6-hour spin, you know, around the clock. I mean, as opposed to, I mean, I was talking to comics in Myrtle Beach and they're just like, yeah, man, there's one way to go. West. I mean, you know, it's like we're against the. There's nothing around there.
Yeah.
Really. Like, there's no, like, big comedy scene. Like, they're doing 3-hour drives to do, like, an open mic in Charlotte or something. I mean, it's
isn't
like,
that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe I might even be wrong on the time. It might even be longer. Or showcases. Sure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just start, you know, your friends are here. You start meeting friends. And then it's like, you just, you put that all down and you're like, well, now let's ask, what are you looking for your career? You know, and I have a very unorthodox approach, which I would not recommend, where mine is, I don't hammer social media. I am horrible at it. I'm just jaded and I don't care. I'll promote my dates on Facebook. I'll say I'll be a blah, 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 blah. And for me right now, it's like, shut up. Shut up about your network and all that. Get good. Get good. You know, mm-hmm. It is very hard to have a killer 45 right now. I mean, and I don't know who does. If you do and you live here, great. Or whoever's here, great. Then you know what? And you want to hit your marketing and all that, fine. But it's, to me, it's just like some of the best marketers are some of the worst comedians. And all you are is marketing a pile of shit.
Yeah,
this is just bad. Yeah. And it's not my mm-hmm. place to tell you.
Yeah.
Because I'm no bargain up there. But I know this. I know this.
Yeah.
I know where the problems are,
yes.
And so I want to fix that. So it's like, I just don't have, maybe because I burned it out and I've been doing it long enough to, you know, to just be like on my phone, filming myself, you know, look at me here, look at me here. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if that would even be introverted. I don't know how to describe it. I just don't have that. That desire. And some guys and girls, they're great at it. Some are great at it, but I've also seen people do it and it you're just promoting a shit act. And it's just like, why are you not, put your phone down, get on stage more. And by the way, I'm talking to myself here too on the get on stage.
Oh,
I
sure.
do not,
yes.
I should be hustling a hell of a lot more, but it's one of those things. I work at a bar at night. I'm on the road. I have two nights a week to kind of do something with my girlfriend, and my dog. And like, yeah. I made a choice that usually on Wednesdays, like, is our night, you know, and that's okay. I made a choice, but I'm gonna get hurt on that in the long run because I should be at the open mic at St. Charles, you know? And that's where I get upset with some, I don't get upset, but it's like with the way people use social media and stuff, it's great to promote. That's fine. But when it's like, when you're making that bigger than, as long as you're doing that and also doing your writing and mm-hmm. exercises, 1 to 2 hours a day, if not more, fair enough. But sorry, I went way into a tangent. We're talking about why you stay in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I ended
this
up
is so good,
scolding
though.
People about.
Well, we always say, what casual advice would you yeah. give? Which I know a lot of podcasts are like, what advice? But I do think it's good when you have somebody who has worked as much as you have and has traveled around and worked with good people. That's
a
good thing.
Let me say this to you. I don't want to end like, I feel like that was being a little negative.
No, that's okay.
No, I mean,
it's honest.
The advice is, honestly, it kind of goes back to that Greg Warren Burr advice of yeah. hit 1,000+ sets. I've listened to every comedian I've talked to of what they do. And it's tough because you're trying to figure your own style. And that's hard. That's hard because what works for you might not work for me, but might work for him. And so, you know,
yeah.
we go around. I would just say whatever you're doing that you're comfortable with, that you're putting in daily exercises, whether that's, my thing is I run bits walking my dog around Creveport Park and I literally
okay.
talk to myself. That's a way I can kind of, where I'm not more of a write out this long form idea. And I'll write bullet points,
okay.
but I'll take like this new thing of my dad and gas, and I think it's got some legs, all started by me just talking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an exercise I did. I was like, okay, dad said this funny thing. Like, he got mad because his gas didn't end on the even dollar amount. I was like, why is that funny? That's funny because why does he care? Nobody else does. And then I just talked that out. And then I've done it for a few weeks and it's been doing well. So my thing is every day I at least try and take some sort of walk or alone time, even if it's on a treadmill or whatever. And I'll just literally run as if I'm on stage.
I like that.
I just literally do my act. Now, it can be a little weird if you're in public and people just think you're talking to yourself, like I'll have headphones on or something, maybe think I'm singing, but I mean I will be walking Gus around.
Oh, that's his name. Creek is Club. Gus.
Yeah, Gus.
Oh, that is such
Gus.
A cute,
I thought it was like a cool
name.
Original name. Apparently it's kind of a hack name.
Really?
Yeah, I guess it's like there's the day camp he goes, there's like four of them. They're
yeah.
like, which one? I'm like, oh, the cool one, the big one.
The awesome one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my style. And what I got to be careful of is just try not to fall in the lazy habits. And it's hard. And it'll happen. And I've done it. And I am certainly not one to tell people about a work ethic, because I at times have a very poor one. But at times I have a good one. Or just journal. Some guys, like Greg always told me, I thought this was good advice, to just they call it papers, like morning papers. I think it was some guy, I can't think of his name. I want to give him credit, but it was just like, just keep the pen moving for 30 minutes. Even if it's just like, I suck, I don't know what to say, this is annoying. Like, just keep it, the whole exercise is just keep the hand.
And it keeps your mind working.
And it just keeps, mm-hmm. And then invariably something might just come out that you might even just write a word that's funny that reminds you of something that might be a joke that you want to tell. Like, so that I don't do as much, but I will every once in a while when I'm in a bad mood. I'll just write, I'll be like, I can't believe this, like, because I write about my temper, because I have such a... this little snap, and then it goes away. I'm like, I'll snap and then I'm done. And 5 minutes, I'm like, why did you get so mad? It's a weird thing. So like, that's, I'll do that exercise.
I've done that. I did that last night, actually. It wasn't even a temper thing, but I remember I, like, out of nowhere, sometimes like anxiety will be that way. And I, you know, like I was trying to watch TV with Jimmy. We watched Saturday Night Live, and then he like turned on a show, and I don't know what happened. Like, all of a sudden, like, everything just, I was like, I need to just go downstairs for a second. Like, I just need to go. And you were talking about journaling. I actually like keep a journal, and and I wrote it in, and it was like weird. I'm sitting downstairs, I'm in, and I was like, oh, and then I walked and I was fine, and there was no problem. So I understand exactly. It's like a little switch that goes on, and then you're like, okay, it's off again.
It's really odd. Yeah. It just calms me down, and it doesn't happen often, but
exactly.
It's also a byproduct of trying to maybe also create a bit too. And it's okay, because there's, I mean, you could write 100 pages and there's not one thing inherently funny, but the 101st actually might be, that kind of story could spin into. So, but there's so many facts. It also depends your style and, you know, are you short form? Are you long? What are you going for? But I think it's just, I mean, people, you know, it's not, there's people who do this. You got to have a little intelligence, I think, to do stand up. And so however you get there, you know, it's got to be in a style that works for you. But as long as you're just doing some work, it would be my advice. Like, And you can tell. I mean, you can tell when sometimes someone's just winging it. I can tell with me when I got sloppy and I took a half-cooked idea and I went up and I just riffed it, and then it ended up to be like, and then that guy went, you know, screw him. No joke, dickhead. No joke. You didn't say, you're yelling. You didn't have a turn. You had no angle. There was no point. I mean, did you do any critical thinking here? What is inherently funny about what you said? You just yelled because the flight attendant didn't say excuse me, and then your answer is, that's ridiculous. And I've done that on stage. Despicable. You know? And so that's just that's a lazy moment where I'm trying to, okay, let's not do that, because you're not that's not doing stand-up. That's just being, you took an idea and you didn't write an ending. You don't have what is right. What are you trying to say here? What is funny about this? Ask yourself, what is funny about this? You know, why do I say, what channel is Netflix on my dad? Because that is funny to me that he thinks that's a channel. So I'll say that line. And then there's some other lines I say, and I'm like, I'm not sure why that's funny. I don't know. But sometimes they'll laugh. That's another wild thing with this damn game of stand-up, that sometimes you're like, okay, I'm going to wind up and say this line, and they're going to laugh. And I'm not really sure why they are.
It might have touched a chord to them. Like, when you talk about your dad, my dad is 75. Yeah. And he does kind of the same thing where he can't figure out any, like, he uses my phone, and I love the flashlight joke, because my dad will just like turn on the flashlight and he's like, oh, you know, it kills me. Like the Hidemi thing. It's the same, like, or the HDMI.
That's it. Yeah. It's one of those things. I look back and I still, on longer sets, that'll be in my act, but it is one of those, like, I'm like, God, even me, I'll sit back, I'm like, Sean, what are you doing? You're doing parents' technology bit.
But some people, just because it's me, so I can relate to it. Like, I know maybe, you know, and I, you know, again, but for me, I relate to it so much. It's like Greg had a bit, too, about old men being like, oh, you know, now they put avocados on their burger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
and my dad has said that to me because I ordered something from Steak and Shake that had, and he's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, like, he goes, true. He goes, and you know, again, like old men, they're like, I never used them. We didn't even have cheese. You know, like, it's just, it's a whole, so sometimes it could be relatable, but I get what you're saying too, where you're like, oh, but everybody always does this. But
you want to be relatable, but you also want to make sure you just have at least some version of originality. Sure. And
yes, and that's what I have to say, like, you know, you're original though. I feel like your stuff, I feel like I'm like, oh, this is what I'm gonna get out of Sean, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think some things are, I mean, maybe on paper premise wise isn't like, oh, he's got a 4-minute bit about having a dog, in terms of just that as a premise, but it's like, okay, well, what are you saying in that bit to make it
original? Yeah.
And it's like, okay, then that's where I try not to be too hard on myself. It's like, all right, well, I'm talking about a dog that's an English Mastiff Great Dane. That's pretty specific. I'm not, you know, and then you just kind of whittle it down to, it's like, well, now this is basically just an embellishment of my life. This is just a true story that I punch up for comedic effect. So if someone's like, oh, that joke's been done. So, okay, well, I'm literally telling you the truth with a little bit of...
This is just my life,
Yeah, I mean, this is, at least, you know, it's not like I'm up there and be like, oh, my kids today drove me nuts. And then they're like, oh no, that guy doesn't have kids. Like, that would be that'd be a weird thing to do if somebody's like making you just fictitious, you know, fictitious writing. But I would just say, just find again, I'm a guy who asks for advice from people, so I'm not one to give it. But I would say, just find something that you can get into a rhythm, hopefully daily, even if it's 30 minutes. Try and hit an hour or just some sort of work, and just keep doing that and finding what you're comfortable with, or record your sets, even if it's not video, audio. I always thought it's helpful, but I don't know. I was talking to some comedians where I think it was Nate Bargatze, I think, said he hates listening to himself on audio.
I do too. And I have like, a panic attack every time.
He said he just doesn't do it. And well, I think he's got a pretty successful career.
Oh, so. He's great. Yeah, oh, I loved his. But yeah, I love him.
He's really funny. So, I mean, that's where it's tough, because it's just kind of finding out what works for you. So,
great. Yeah. I loved it. Speaking of, you know, things that work, before we head out, where can we casually find you on? I know you just talked about social
media. I hate social media. It sucks. I hate YouTube. They're probably watching it on YouTube. Actually, that's my favorite channel. I watch Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and just crazy YouTube videos.
Yeah.
My new one, I'm watching boats flip over and haul over. It's called Haul Over Inlet in Miami Beach. And it's this inlet that goes out to the ocean, and it's like cuts through, so boats can, like, I don't know, cut through a port of Miami, and they just all, like, $1 million boats just flip over. And this guy just films it all day and night, and it's the greatest thing ever. Okay. Just watching millionaires just have their boat tank in the water, and they're nobody gets hurt or anything, but it's just choppy waves.
What a concept!
Yeah. So sorry, ADD had coming in. No, I usually do. I mean, I'm on Twitter. I don't use it. I'm more just kind of gaze.
Yeah. You can look at his bio, and you can get a discount at Kohl's.
Yeah,
if
I got
you click
Kohl's
on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got you two tagged in that. You two are Coldplay, I hope.
Yeah, you two enthusiasts.
You two
enthusiasts.
So.
Which is very.
So
true.
I'm sure people are gonna hate me now, because that's just. People just got to hate you too. It's so strange. I'll never understand it. But that's just one of those bands. Like, people,
I'm just,
you can't tell people.
I'm like, I don't hate them. I just,
well, that's a normal reaction. No, that's fair. Like, indifferent is fair. Like,
just like, I mean, do you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm indifferent about Billy Joel, but I'm not mad about Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You too. And I don't know if it's people being brainwashed, told, like, you got to hate that band because that guy gave you a free CD on your iPhone, and that's bullshit. It's like, that's fake anger. I don't buy it. You're not mad. Nobody cares. You remember that Bond they put the album on?
That was, yes, I remember, because I was like, did I buy this? Like, how drunk was I?
Yeah.
Like, people were like, no, it's just on.
It just showed up. Yeah. And what's crazy is, too, Apple paid U2 a gaggle of money to do that. It wasn't like U2's like, oh, yeah, so nobody, oh, but everyone's still got their little iPhone. You still got your dumb iPhone. Well, don't buy the iPhone. Go to an Android like me.
Mm-hmm.
Androids. Do you do an Android?
I actually have an iPhone.
I mean, I'm all in. I'm all in with the Android.
But, well, that's okay. Sounds good to me.
Shit. Sorry.
You're
fine.
What was
your original
question? Fine. I was just about to go on my music app to look at the U2 album. Yeah. I was like, it's not there. But I was just saying, like, do you have any shows coming up?
Oh, yeah. So let's see. What do I have? Well, yeah, in terms of, I'll use my stupid Facebook. I'll use that, and I'll put on what shows I'm at. So in terms of promotion,
yes.
I do a little Instagram, not much. I might get back into it because I used to film my dog a lot and just do funny things with him because he's a character. Shows, I'm in Lake Platte, Nebraska, next Wednesday, a week from tonight.
Okay.
So if you happen to be in Nebraska? Western Nebraska or want to make a 15-hour drive or something, I think I'm out there. Yeah, I'm out there Wednesday and with Greg Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second week of July, Laughing Gas.
Okay.
Oh, June. I'm sorry. June. And yeah. I think I have one more date with Josh Arnold. So I usually always at least post about it on, like, I'll just say, hey, I'll be at blah, blah, blah. Love to see you. And usually if anyone says, like, hey, I'll be there, I always will try and buy him a ticket, too.
Oh, so, there you go. You see, know, that's awesome. And then we'll include links to how to find you on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. So, or Twitter.
Yeah.
I always put it in the bio. Also, just make sure that you follow at the Casually Molly podcast. You can also look me up on my regular Instagram at Molly Ambergris. See, look, I'm really good at doing this, too. And then the big thing, though, we have our second installment of comedy at the Golden Hoosier. If you were in St. Louis, our second installment of that is in South City at the Golden Hoosier, the upper level. We sold out our first show in March, so we're very excited to bring it back. This headliner coming up will be JC Sabala, and then our two feature acts will be Ronaldo Mercado and JB Buchanan.
JC, so JC's my buddy.
Yeah.
I hope you hear this because he, like, I try and do impressions of JC.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like, so my kid, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a dick. I mean, well, yeah, dude, he's my son. You know, that lasagna is stolen. That's it. That's my JC Sabala bit. He asked me to do it last night. I didn't do it. So, and he thinks it's good. It's horrible, but.
But I love it.
Hopefully JC will watch that and really appreciate his.
Oh, yeah. That'll be, if you would like to see that, but just in JC Sabala version.
But yeah.
Please come to the show.
It's just like what I did. I mean, it's so, I'm so good. I mean, I should just do it and just put on a JC mask because it was that good. So.
Yeah, May 25th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 on Eventbrite. Like I said, we did sell out the last time, so just make sure to reserve your spot. And then I'll be hosting it, which will be great. Anything else that I'm thinking of? We'll just include the link, I guess, into the bio. Sean, this was lovely.
Molly, great stuff. That was super fun.
Thank you
for having me come on. I hope to come back.
Yes, down the road. I told you we have to do our 6-month follow-up.
Yeah. We got a lot more to hit on. So
yes,
a lot more to hit on.
What are you going to casually do now that our episode has ended?
Let's see. What's tonight? Wednesday. I'm going to go home and probably make Heather, my girlfriend, some sort of dinner.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It might be.
What do you like to make? Do you have like a favorite? I didn't know you. Now you're a chef.
Do you do
everything? You can sell cars. You do comedy.
No, I can't.
Now you're a chef.
I am
not a
chef.
Have I forgotten anything else?
Molly, no. I mean, but when I mean cook dinner, let me clear the air on that one. Cook dinner would be like green beans in a can, and then I put that into a pot. Spaghetti and water. Boiled, and then I'm telling you, I'm giving you guys directions how to make spaghetti in case you didn't know. It's a real low end stuff. Like, it's
what
like
we have done, without these directions.
Yeah,
thank
I mean,
God.
I know. And cooking is, I love food, but I get too discouraged cooking. So I was like, that's one path I'm not gonna do my deep dive on. I just can't.
Oh, that's
I get
okay.
too annoyed,
thank
or
God.
I burn. I just screw up a meal, or I try. I just can't. I can't bake. I can't cook. It's just not for me. I can't do it. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't be in the kitchen. So I'll whip up something really real highbrow tonight.
All right.
Probably some
highbrow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to let you do that. That's going to be great.
It'd be pretty sweet. So.
Oh, thank you. And then, just the outro will be our flyer for the show. So just stay tuned to look at the details and make sure to get your tickets for May 25th at 7:30. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.